what's really stuck with me was working in that prison after having grown up in East London, seeing people that I'd gone to school with, you know, gone through the same kind of like process in the jail as well, but on the other side of the gate. Honestly, I don't think I'll be the person that I am today if I didn't go through that journey. I didn't really know my purpose before I started working in the prison. And I look back and I'm just grateful for every single route that has landed me to this point.
Throughout my life, I've been really lucky to meet some inspiring, big-hearted people. So I wanted to create this podcast to share those little life lessons with you and those deep conversations, because they're about things we're all experiencing, about life, career, growing in your career, relationships, friendships. And I reckon that if I've taken something from these lessons and these conversations, you will too. I'm Anaïs, and this is Little Lessons from Big Hearts. Today, we're recording from Notting Hill Coffee Project. It's quite fitting that we're recording here today because Notting Hill Coffee Project gives 10% back from everything you buy from the counter to Centrepoint, a charity fighting youth homelessness. So it's quite meaningful to me. Today, I'm joined by Tony, one of my friends, but also we used to work together at the Body Shop. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
You used to be a prison officer.
Yes.
Which is like crazy to me.
Yeah.
And so like... wow, that story. So can you tell us a little bit more about like how that was?
Yeah. I didn't always want to be a prison officer. I was working in insurance and I just wasn't getting any job satisfaction. You know, I had a lovely team, lovely organization, but I wasn't feeling like the work that I was doing was having an impact. And I actually remember my auntie was telling me about the work she does as a social worker and how it's just, you know, seeing the impact she's having on these young kids' lives, it's everything for her, even though it's late hours and everything. And I just thought, I want something like that. And I was made aware of a vacancy in a prison, which would have taken me back to London. And yeah, I went for it. But, you know, it's funny because if someone had told me to apply in a prison, I probably wouldn't have. But this individual family friend actually printed out the application form, posted it and sent it out to me. And because of that effort that they put in, I thought, all right, let me just give it a go. Mm. And as I was researching the role and applying, I thought, you know what, this could actually link, like, I could actually make a difference through this. And yeah, then ended up working in a prison, starting off as a prison officer on the wings, which was, yeah, quite challenging in itself. I think that, you know, and we've spoken about this before, I feel like everything definitely happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And God took me down that path. So I could learn a little bit about myself, but I was also able to learn about others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through that environment, I was able to help people. I realized just how many different challenges people are facing, and like the difference the opportunity can make in someone's life. I started off as a prison officer, went on to be a resettlement officer, so was still a prison officer, but was helping the prisoners get employment, putting on different employment events and stuff in the prison. And then I went on to manage that team as well. Now at the Body Shop, it's the flip side of that I'm
it
doing.
Is,
so
yeah.
Instead of being in, you know, a prison, only supporting people that been convicted to a sentence in that jail, I'm working for a global organization that has stores across the UK, and you know, through our open hiring program, we're able to provide opportunities to everyone and anyone.
What do you feel like you learned being a prison officer that you kind of like keep today in your job?
One of the things that I learned from that time, like working in a prison, is the power that comes through someone's story and someone's journey. Being a careers advisor, I'd always ask the prisoners, like, tell me about your journey. You know, what has happened that's led you to this point? And, you know, through that, we understand the opportunities they missed out on. We also understand some of the mistakes that they made. I think there's so much that we can learn from someone through understanding their journey. And I take a lot of time to actually understand that from different people. So that's one of the things that I learned in that kind of like prison environment, which is a little bit different, right? But that's more so through my resettlement work. And I think in general, nothing's impossible, right? You have to just put your mind towards things. And working in that environment as a young female, it can be quite challenging, but you can't allow the fear to cripple you, because then you literally won't be able to do anything. So you need to put all the fears and anxieties aside and just step forward and just do it. And yeah, when you believe in yourself, then your work will speak for itself too.
I love that. And I also like what you said about just hearing people's stories and listening to them. It's kind of when you understand where they come from in general, whether it is like a colleague, someone you meet on the street, it makes a really big difference to then how you connect with each other. And I can imagine that, especially for you to kind of create an opportunity for them and to find a new path or help them find their new path, connecting and really understanding what they want, because I can imagine sometimes they don't maybe know themselves and you have to guide them. That's like super, super important. Has anyone helped you kind of find your path, or is that something you found yourself?
So I won't say it's something that I found myself. I think my faith has been so important to my journey. Even when I think of the point when I started working in a prison, it's just before I said, you know, I'm giving my life to Christ, like I'm focusing on my faith as a Christian. And I've got some strong leaders within the church that have helped me on my journey. Like my parents are both ministers. So they've supported me. They've continued to encourage me, pray for me. And my faith mentor as well, Reverend Wanu, she's been amazing, like really mentoring me within that space, helping me to understand Christ's identity. And through that, I'm able to understand my own identity. So I think, yeah, like my journey as a Christian has really empowered me to be able to step into like my birthright as a Christian.
That's something that actually I really admire about you, because I remember you really early on were so transparent about like what you believed in and or believe in and your faith as well. And I think that's very brave, especially nowadays, to just be like, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is who's guiding me. And not feel like you have to hide.
Yeah,
I think, and it's really something I truly admire about you.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's been a journey, but yeah, got nothing to hide.
Do you remember how we met?
Yeah,
so it was what, two years ago?
Yeah, two and a bit years ago.
And we were working in the same team at the body shop, but didn't quite talk.
Yeah.
And we were both invited to go to COP26.
Yeah, in Scotland.
In Scotland, to be on this board with the CEO. And I think that's when we kind of started bonding. And there was a breakfast particularly that we did with two other people. And we started talking about purpose.
Yeah.
And we kind of clicked, because I'm very big on purpose. I know you are too.
We've spoken a lot about purpose and like our personal purpose and how it aligns to the work that we do. But yeah, ultimately my purpose is to bring hope. But I do that by helping people that are marginalized overcome whatever barriers are in front of them.
And you're still at the body shop now?
Yes, I am.
So what do you do?
I'm the inclusive hiring lead at the body shop. And at the moment I'm mainly working on a project that is all about bringing marginalized people, diverse people into the business, but helping them overcome those barriers and seeing how we can then further develop them once they come into the organization. And I also support with diversity and inclusion across the UK. So yeah, very big on people, big on removing barriers and embracing diversity.
And a little bit about your background, like how and where did you grow up? Like, how are you who you are today?
So I'm an East London babe. I grew up in Newham, East London. And yeah, my parents actually came from Nigeria not too long, a few years before they had me. So I was born here, was raised in East London, and then I moved to Kent. So the family moved to Kent when I was 15. I think, yeah, so we moved to Kent and that was different for me. I think especially growing up in Newham, Newham is one of the most diverse boroughs like in the UK in general. So there's a lot of diversity there. When I was in school, I never really felt like a minority, like, you know, black and brown people were the majority in these schools. and then I moved to Kent, and it was completely different. It was literally the flip side of that. And this is in 2007, right? And so that was really different for me, navigating in that environment. I had to adjust a little bit. I didn't realize what code switching was until I went back to see my friends in London, and they'd be like, oh, Tony, you sound different. And then I'd go back to Kent and they're like, oh, Tony, you sound different. So I didn't realize just how much I was adapting to my different environments.
Yeah.
And even like Nigeria, I'm Nigerian, but I was born here in the UK. So the first time I went to Nigeria was when I was 16. And again, you know, I'm talking to my grandparents, trying to speak to them in Yoruba. And, you know, the way I'm pronouncing stuff doesn't sound like proper Yoruba, right? But I am still Nigerian, even though my accent's not as sharp, but I still have that. But yeah, that growing up in East London is a big part of my identity. There's a lot that I've learned just about myself and people as a result of that.
When you said that you learned a lot from like people and growing up, what was that? What did you learn? Like having to adapt, I guess. That's a big, and maybe a culture shock within the same country almost. Like every time you said you went back to Kent, you had to change a little bit or adapt. And then you went back to your friends and adapted again.
When I just look at my life journey, when I think about the different people that I've met, the conversations that we've had, and I think I've said this before, opportunity, it might seem like just a simple thing, but it's so big, right? And there are some people, for example, it's not all of like my cousins that had the opportunity to move to the UK, grow up in the UK, like, you know, and they've got different lives as a result of the opportunities that were presented to them. But what's really stuck with me was working in that prison after having grown up in East London, seeing people that I'd gone to school with, you know, gone through the same kind of like process in the jail as well, but on the other side of the gate, you know, and, you know, it made me stop and reflect and think, what's the difference? Like, you know, what opportunities did they not get that maybe I was able to have? And like, you know, it's just, I think, yeah, that's one of the main things that I've taken away. Like, opportunity is a really powerful thing. Some people have the opportunities and they don't take it, but there are also loads of people that don't actually have those opportunities to be able to take. And it's that can be a dividing factor between the journeys that people take.
And I feel like that's completely aligned with your purpose and what you're doing now, right? Kind of creating or shaping those opportunities for people.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you're able to live the impact you want to create through what you're doing?
Okay, so just for context, I didn't really know my purpose before I started working in the prison. It was literally, it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years after. But part of what made it hard for me to understand my purpose was the fact that I didn't really know who I was. Even like moving from East London to Kent to Norwich, like that whole time, I didn't really know myself. And so that's what also made it a lot easier for me to just flip and flop and change. And I even remember there was a time when I was in Kent and one of my friends had like, they called me Ant. Like Ant. The insect, Ant. Because it's Antonia, that's my like, you know, full first name. So they shortened it and they were like, oh, Ant. And I was thinking, I don't want to be called Ant. But then after that, I had to like change the narrative and say, actually, call me Tony. And I think like sometimes like you need to like know who you are. You need to know what you stand for and set the record. If not, it's so much easier for people to like take you along their way or put like a identity on you or a narrative on you. But with the whole identity piece, my faith mentor, Reverend Wanu, she was doing a preaching. This is probably like the first or second time that I'd met her. So I didn't know her personally then. And it was all about identity. And as a Christian, you have to know who Christ is in order for you to know yourself. And at the time, I was just, my life was all over the place. My head was all over the place. I wanted to know God more, but I didn't really know where to start. And she shared that preaching and I was just like, just captivated by it. And afterwards, she started a mentoring program, like a discipleship program. And I went along to that. And yeah, like it really helped me. And I think just through everything, through like, you know, working in a prison, which is a really challenging environment, I had to lean on God. Like, I had to, like, anchor myself to God, like, you know, praying, reading the Bible. Because if not, you can look at everything that's happening around you and just start to lose hope. You know, get depressed, get caught up in all of that. But, yeah, Reverend Wanyu was great at helping me to navigate my faith journey. So I got to know who Christ is. So I got to know who I was. And that helped me to actually see my purpose. And now when I look back on some of the things that I was doing beforehand, I can see that link. And it's like, it's almost as if I knew my purpose all along, but I didn't actually, but I was already working in it already.
For people who are like looking to find their purpose, how do they like know? How do we know what our purpose is? Is it like a feeling? Is it a, because I think I have always like kind of felt in my heart that I wanted to help people, and it's almost like a calling. And then through the years, I've learned how that is through like experience and people telling me, oh, like actually you helped me with this and this is how you did it. So it's through like learning and understanding your skills and understanding yourself. So to me, it's like a feeling, but what is it to you?
You mentioned like knowing yourself, that self-awareness. I think it's so important for us to take time to pause and reflect. One of the, you know, best ways to do that is by journaling. I journal a lot, you know, even within my journaling, like it's like conversation to myself. And sometimes I'm like talking to God through that as well. But what helped me along the way with realizing my purpose was like a lot of prayer. So it's more, and when you're praying, it's just like, you're like thanking God for stuff. You're putting, you're like, okay, you know, sharing like, this is what's happening. This, like just laying everything out there. So I think, you know, you can pray, you can meditate, journaling as well. I think that's cool. But yeah, also speaking to others, like getting feedback from others, using that to help with your own like self-awareness. I think that is really, really important.
And like trusting, I think, is like trusting that everything you're going to be led to that path. When you spoke about journaling, that's something I do too. Just go in a cafe and then just journal and write down your thoughts. And it's really interesting to then flick back a few years back and you see what you kind of like were hoping for, were like praying for, and then it happens. Or like it took you a complete different path, but then you understand why it didn't go the way you wanted.
So powerful.
Has that happened to you?
Yeah. I look back at old journals and I'm just like, one, I was really going through it at that time. But I'm also able to see like, okay, I have actually done this thing. I have done that. Or I was able to overcome this. And I think it's so important to, writing things down. Even like, you know, they always say, write down your goals, write down your vision. It's so important when you do that, and it's empowering when you do that, but also to be able to look back and see all of the things that you accomplished. So powerful.
What's something you've looked back and you're like, I'm really proud I accomplished that?
I would say, one of the things that I'm really proud of is being able to work in an environment like a prison. Like, it was really, it was challenging, and I did a lot of growing in that space despite all the odds. I was able to get people to like engage just through general like influencing, through like, you know, mutual respect and communication. I really developed my communication skills in that place. But yeah, I think a lot of the guys that we were able to see go into employment as a result of me persevering in that environment was great. But honestly, I don't think I'll be the person that I am today if I didn't go through that journey. It really molded me, and it's crafted me into the person I am right now.
Do you feel like it molded you or changed you?
I think it molded me, because when I was working in that environment, I wasn't taking steps based on my own knowledge and my own understanding, because you know, I'm a slim girl like working in a male prison. It's not as if I'm going to use muscles to like get stuff done, so I wasn't trusting on my own ability. Like, I had to trust on God, and as a result of that, like, I was just able to see God like in my life in different ways. So it's more so taking time to stop, because sometimes we, when we're in situations, we think that we can control everything, we can do everything. But in that space, I knew I wasn't in control. And as a result, I had to like let go and kind of like let God do his thing. So yeah, and it's just more, it was just eye-opening, but then also, like you mentioned, trust. I had to trust that, you know, God was taking me through this journey for a reason, and I also had to trust that I could do whatever it was that was before me. So yeah,
and that is hard. Trusting is hard, like letting go.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the things I'm still working on, but definitely learned, mm-hmm. is I wanted to like control everything to make sure that I would be happy, or to make sure that something would like bring me joy during the day. Mm. And then when you kind of like let go, you actually feel more at peace.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And I find it so powerful when you can just like trust, whether you call it God, the universe, and energy, but just like trust that positive like source, mm-hmm. To guide you.
Yeah.
And you said earlier, everything happens for a reason, and I'm the biggest believer in that. How do you feel like things in your life has happened for a reason?
I mentioned how I found out about the opportunity in the prison. And I said already that if that family member didn't go through the effort of printing the application out and posting it to my address, if they just sent a hyperlink, I probably wouldn't have applied. Mm. It's literally because they made that effort that I thought, they've gone through all of that trouble, let me at least try. But yeah, I never would have wanted to work in a prison ever. So I think that person had to go through that effort in order to like take me on that direction.
And it's so kind of like beautiful to think that had that person not done this, you would have gone maybe a different direction. So it's like the different people we meet along the way, which is what this whole podcast is about, kind of like steers you mm-hmm. in your path mm-hmm. and helps you realize things about yourself, like your mentor. Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of like connected without knowing it, but sometimes we do as well, like when we reflect upon it.
Yeah.
I find that like really special about life.
So I'm just thinking about it now. I think the people that we have around us, like it's really important, like, you know, how influential they are, like, you know, exactly who they are. Because, yeah, as I'm reflecting and, you know, we're talking now and I'm thinking as I'm talking and I speak about the people that had influence, it's like, you know, my faith mentors, my parents, my friends, my family. If I had the wrong people, like people that had like bad advice around me, then I'm more likely to take that, right? So I think it's, again, really important that we as individuals take time to actually look at who's around us, who's, you know, influencing our like steps and whatnot, and just make sure that we've got pure circles, we've got the right people around us to be able to influence us in a positive way, as opposed to
100%. And I tend to see these things on Instagram where it's like, you're the product of the five people around you, or the five like closest people around you will influence the path that you'll take. Mm-hmm. Either if they're like really positive, it'll bring up your mood, or negative, it could even like dial down your confidence.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, it's about the people we have like in our personal life, like relationships, family, and how we navigate everything, but also work.
Yeah.
If you have, I think we've both been in positive and negative situations, but when you have a manager that's super empowering, that trusts you, that lets you be you and grow, that does just wonders for your confidence and you as a person and your identity, versus someone who maybe puts you down, puts you in a box, doesn't give you feedback, doesn't help you grow.
So
because we spend so much time at work, that whole circle is so important as well.
Yeah, so important.
Do you feel empowered today?
Yeah. I mean, you've just spoken about the role that our like colleagues, managers play. And luckily for me, I've got an amazing, amazing manager at work who does inspire me, who does empower me. And through our like partnership, we're able to really change lives and have an impact. And I spend the majority of my time at work. And I think, the work that we're doing is amazing. You know, from a faith point of view, I'm doing a lot in the church space as well. And again, I'm being given a bit more responsibility. I'm being empowered to do that. But yeah, ultimately, I think I'm in a very, very good place. And I look back and I'm just grateful for every single route that has landed me to this point here.
Is there like a time specifically you remember being like super empowered? So people listening are like, okay, that's how Tony felt empowered. Maybe that's what I should like look for.
So linking it to work, my manager is really great at giving feedback. She'd give me feedback. And mostly it's positive feedback, just really encouraging me, letting me know, like, you know, the impact of what I've done, of what I've said. But one thing that she does that's really great is she gives me space. Like, she doesn't take up the space, but she gives me space to be me. She understands where my strengths lie. And there might be times that I think, oh, you know, maybe I'm too small for this. And she's like, no, like, you know, stop that tone. You know, you're this, you're this, you're that. And she literally would push me, like, push me forward. And there are some managers that don't want to do that. They want to take up the spotlight. They want to be at the top, right? They want to be in the center stage. But yeah, like, Nikiba's amazing. And she literally does that job of putting others, like, before her. And yeah, I think, yeah, literally, hashtag best manager.
Nikiba's great. I know Nikiba. And I think that, like, is such a big testament when you're able to do that and kind of go in outside of the spotlight and put other people in front and not get, like, your fear in the way. I feel like fear of not being seen, of feeling like someone is better than you, and in competition, like, unhealthy competition holds people back.
Yeah.
And that ego again, it's like, all, we talked about ego earlier, like, it's all linked to the ego. What about you, Tony? I feel like you would be a very empowering manager because you're someone who just empowers people in general. I feel empowered around you. What about you makes that happen? Like, how can people learn from how you're doing it?
So I actually did, in my last company, I was line managing someone in our recruitment team. And I remember when we started, I was known for the different recruitment events and the job fairs that I'd put on in the prison. Everyone knew me for them. They were great events. and so, Katie, she came in and was like, okay, you know, she saw me do the event and she said, like, you know, I'd like to help with that. I can do that. And in my head, I was thinking, this is my baby. But at the same time, she'd already said, like, you know, Tony, I can do it. And so we, like, yeah, discussed it all. I left her to take ownership of it and lead it. And she was amazing. And it also meant that by her taking that on, I was able to focus on some other stuff. And even when I was advising her and supporting her, I'd give her the whole thing of, you know, really think about what it is that you're wanting to get out of, like, this opportunity, what skills you really want to develop, and let me know so we can get you doing stuff that enable you to do that. And after she left our last company, she's actually now working as an event planner. So she's working within that kind of, like, role, which is great. So I was happy that, you know, I didn't allow, like, pride or control or anything like that to stop me from giving her the opportunity to really let her star shine. And she's now, like, doing the work that she's always wanted to do, which is amazing.
That's incredible. And imagine you, like, shaped her path then. Do you remember getting a little bit of a feeling of, like, there's a little bit of pride and ego, how do I navigate it? Or did it just come naturally to you?
I think for me, when I look at my journey, like, there's been, like, I've taken on projects, done, like, volunteering stuff, you know, to just so I can, like, you know, develop. When I'm advising people as well, you know, if you're not necessarily getting as much from your day job, I always advise you to look at, okay, are there any networks or groups that you can engage with within the organization on a voluntary basis, and think about what projects you can do within that to really, like, you know, get yourself out there. And so I guess with the events, the job fairs and everything, that was something that I was doing, and I was doing well, and it really put me out there. But then I, as, yeah, a leader, you need to be willing to not hold on to these things and to empower others to also be able to step into that. So I was grateful for that opportunity, grateful for her for letting me know what she wanted to do, so I could actually see that, listen, and let her step into it.
And I think it's the same with friendships as well. So it's back to, like, that circle of having empowering people around you who kind of, I think we're all human and we all tend to feel maybe some, like, jealousy, but then how do you turn it into admiration, or how do you ask for, like, advice, or how do you get inspired by other people?
And it's all about honesty as well. I think we all need to, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with another. And, you know, you spoke about trust, and that plays its role. Like, we need to trust each other with our truths. But the more that people are communicating honestly and trusting one another, the better.
And vulnerably as well. I think it's hard to be completely transparent and be like, oh, actually, like, that was hurtful.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, actually, I feel this about this, because we tend to like mentalize a lot of things and not share like our weaknesses.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that when we do, it's like the most powerful thing, because it actually, like, we're all human and then we get connected on like a deeper level.
Yeah.
And we've all been through ups and downs. So like, again, why not learn from each other? Is there anything else that you feel like is useful in kind of like growing people, connecting with people?
I think it's so important for people to not just focus on themselves and like climbing up the ladder, but actually taking time to pause and look back and see like, how can I help the others that are coming behind me? And, you know, when I think of my journey, everything that I'm learning along the way, you know, or that I have learned, I'm always sharing that. How can I share that with people, whether it's in a mentoring capacity or coaching? So I'm doing like coaching qualification at the moment, and I'm like taking time to actually do these coaching sessions, and it's really empowering. And even with coaching, you have to have like a lot of you have to have a lot of self-awareness in order to be a great coach. And you know, you're kind of helping the people you coach to be more aware of themselves, and you're really empowering them on that journey. And I think it's nice just being able to do that as a way to help people carry up that ladder.
And coaching is such a good example, because it's like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's not about you being the savior.
Yeah.
It's not about you giving like advice. It's kind of about like helping someone get the best out of them, like asking why 50 times.
It's just so empowering. And I always say at the start of my sessions, like, I'm not the like expert here.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, you are the master of you.
Yeah.
All I'm here to do is just help, like, ask some questions so you can better understand, like, you know, the mastery that like lives within you. I think being a coach is, it's amazing. It's an absolute privilege. And hopefully I can help people along their journey a little bit more.
If someone's like, I'm trying to find my purpose, I'm struggling, I don't know like where to look, where to start, what would be like your first or two first like coaching questions for them?
So first of all, I'd ask them like, what drives them? You know, what brings them joy? What can they see themselves doing, like, you know, every day if there was no like blocker or obstacle in front of them? And like, you know, and like even them understanding, how does that make them feel? What would they need to be able to do that effectively? Is there anything that's in the way stopping them from doing those things? So it's just different reflection questions, but ultimately you just need to understand like, what is it that you feel drawn to do? Without even thinking that you will do it, like regardless of how much effort it's going to take to do that. And just like explore that a little bit deeper, because it could be that your purpose actually lies behind those things that you're driven to do on a day-to-day basis.
That's really true. And I think the key thing that you said is joy. So like, what, it's not about pushing and not being, it's like joy. When you're purely in joy and love, what you like spread to other people is exactly that. And that's what makes an impact, I think. When you like truly love what you do, which is hard to find, but it takes self-reflection, and then you can take like little steps along the way. I want to end this episode with a few like rapid fire questions.
Okay.
First question, what's a life lesson or a piece of advice that someone has given you that has kind of like stuck with you to this day?
I think it would just be that everything is happening for a reason, and I think I've just had to learn to believe that all things are working out for my good. And it might not seem good right now, but in the future, like, I'm going to look back and think, okay, that needed to happen. So yeah, just believing that even though things might seem a bit like shaky right now, don't be discouraged, because yeah, all things will work out for your good.
What's a lesson you thought you'd learned but actually hadn't?
Okay, so this one, I'd link it to one of my favorite scriptures, which is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. And I think through that, like, it just gives the message and the lesson that, you know, so long as you seek the face of the Lord, you trust him, you're praying, then life is sweet and it's sorted and you have nothing to worry about. And I know this, I say it's my favorite scripture, but there's still times I sit there and I'm worried about this and I'm thinking about and overanalyzing, but I need to go back to that scripture and literally just seek the Lord's face, trust in him, and just believe that, yeah, everything will work out in the end.
It's a good one. Letting go again. Trusting.
Yeah, exactly.
Other question is, when was the boldest time that you followed your heart?
And again, like I mentioned, my faith is a big part of my journey. I think deciding to, you know, step into being a Christian and doing that wholeheartedly,
yeah,
meaning that I had to let go of, you know, some friends that weren't a positive influence and were leading me down a different path. And yeah, like that, I think, required a lot of boldness. But yeah, standing there saying like, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm going to go on this journey is definitely what up there.
And trust what feels right for you. Yeah. Who was the last person to inspire you?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned my manager already on here, but yeah, she's a constant inspiration, not just to me, but to so many people around. But yeah, she makes an impact on a day-to-day basis, and hearing her talk about the importance of creating space, supporting others, yeah, it's always an inspiration.
Thank you, Tony, for being here, for being so open and honest and transparent and in your heart. I felt really inspired. And think you're just like an amazing human being. So thanks for being here for the first one.
Thanks for
meant
having
a lot.
Me.
What really stuck in my mind was when we talked about everything happens for a reason. I think that kind of like sticks out to me, and it's something I truly believe in, and letting go, mm-hmm, and trusting.
Yeah.
So I hope people listening take that away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's been a really great conversation with you, Anaïs, and I think we've spoken on a lot, so no, nothing else to add.
Thank you for watching and listening. Hopefully you feel inspired by Tony and her stories and her lessons, and you're on your path to finding your purpose. If something resonated with you, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, so you can tune into all of these episodes where you learn little lessons from big hearts.